Well, I had the privilege of being a student with JT in college, and I'm just honored to speak the night that we honor them. I'm not sure where to go here. Let's come up here. Is this okay, guys? All right. But I've just been able to watch JT from the time he was a freshman, time we were freshmen together, and I'm just really excited about what the Lord's going to be doing through them. Wow. So, big game this weekend. I'm used to speaking before a big game. The year of the 2000 championship of the OU Sooners, I had just moved from Norman to O'Fallon, Illinois, to work with a youth ministry. And the night that, the one night that I beat the Florida State, Florida State Seminoles, okay, that very night, I was asked to speak to our teenagers that night, and I'm in Illinois, right, with teenagers, junior high and high school students, and I mean, OU's my alum, and I'm all excited about the game, and I have to speak the same night the game is on, right? So I divided the room up, and I said, this side went on my cue, yell Boomer, and this side on my cue, yell Sooner, you know? And so these kids in Illinois have no clue what the OU Sooners are, but that night the Sooners won the big game, and so I'm hoping they're going to win this weekend too. We'll leave the cheering till this weekend though, is that all right? Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this weekend and the exciting times that we're going to have cheering on the Sooners. I also just pray for this weekend. I pray students would be living honorable lives, even on a crazy weekend like this weekend. And Father, I just pray that tonight you'll help us to learn what that means, that you'll really help us to think about this idea of honor. We pray that you'd be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I want to start off tonight by thinking some happy thoughts. For some of you that know me, you know that I'm kind of a naturally optimistic person. Am I okay? Sorry. Is that better? I think. I'll keep talking. You let me know. You'll know that I'm kind of a naturally optimistic person. My glass is always kind of half full. That's the kind of person I am. And so tonight I want to start thinking about some happy things. Is that okay with you? I want you guys to get in your head the name of a person who you just really love. Someone that just, it's just easy to love this person. Maybe it's your best friend. Friend is here tonight. My bestest friend in the whole wide world. I think she might be out with Chloe right now, the crying baby in the back. But she is here tonight. And I love her to pieces. So maybe you have a best friend. Maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe your mom or your dad. Think of somebody that's really easy to love. And when you're thinking about this person, first of all, think about what is it about them that draws them to you? What is it in their life that really draws them to you? What is that quality about them? You got that name in your head? You can write it down on a piece of paper if you want to. What about how about what do you do together? What do you guys like to do? That has changed for me and Mandy as we've gotten older. We like to hang out and watch Pride and Prejudice movies and all that kind of stuff. Scrapbook. Back in college, we used to stay up all hours of the night and talk. How about, to what extent are you willing to serve this person? How far are you going? Mandy was a gal in college who was a servant. She still is a servant of the Lord. And I remember one time, one Saturday morning when I woke up, I had to go on a band trip. I was in the Pride of Oklahoma. And I woke up rushing out the door and looked in my closet and no uniform. I had left my band uniform at the dry cleaners. And we were supposed to be in Bartlesville. You know, I was supposed to be on the bus to go to Bartlesville to march a show that day. And Mandy was awake, and I said, Mandy, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a uniform. I don't know. You know, and she said, it's okay. It's all right. We'll be all right. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go as soon as the place opens, because it didn't open until 8:30. I had to be at the bus like 7 or 7:30. She said, I'll go to the dry cleaners as soon as it opens, and I'll drive all the way to Bartlesville and get you your uniform. I'll stay and watch the show and drive back. And no kidding, Evelyn did that. Drove all the way to Bartlesville. She didn't have to do that by any means, but she was willing to go to that extent to serve me. To what extent are you willing to go to serve this person that you really love? How about this? When you're in conflict with this person, how do you treat them? And what do you do to resolve that conflict? Okay, how about now let's think about the glasses half empty part. The not so fun thing to think about. How about think of a name of a person that maybe isn't so easy to love. Somebody that is a little bit more difficult in your life. And go ahead. I want you to get a name of that person. It's all right. Think of that person right now. And now I kind of want to challenge you a little bit. First of all, think about maybe one or two qualities that you see in that person's life that you just really respect about them. One or two. You can come up with one or two. What about, is there anything at all that you could do with this person where you could really enjoy their company? Down. Thanks. Okay. Is there anything that you can do with this person? That's a little bit better, isn't it? Okay. Is there anything you can do with this person where you'd really enjoy their company? How about this one? To what extent are you willing to serve this person? This person that's kind of hard to love. To what extent are you willing to serve them? What about when you're in conflict with this person? How do you treat them? What do you do when you're in conflict with this person that it's difficult to love? I hope you really thought through some of those things. I want to take you back now to the very first paradigm of the semester. If you remember, we had Dudley Callison with us, and he kind of gave us a challenge on kind of having a paradigm shift in thinking. It's okay if you weren't there. I'm going to kind of summarize his main points. Basically, he talked about the way that we can live our lives and how we can fit God into our lives. He said there are three options we can do. We can have option A, which basically, you kind of have your lives kind of compartmentalized. You've got family here and relationships here and your job and whatever activities you have and your studies. And option A basically leaves God completely out of the picture. Just know God in option A's life. Well, option B, if you remember, Dudley said what he kind of remembered living his life all the way up till his freshman year of college before he had a paradigm shift in thinking. Option B was where, he's got his family here. He's got his relationships. He's got his thing, his studies and this and that. But he makes sure that he gets God in there too. But, he's just, God's a part of it, right? Well, then option C, he said, because he said option B really shouldn't even be an option. Wasn't ever an option, according to the Lord. Well, option C was where God all of a sudden infiltrates every little bit of our lives. If we could live the Christian life where God just totally saturates our whole life, everything about it. Well, tonight I want to see if we can have a little bit of a paradigm shift in thinking about how God can really infiltrate our relationships. And later we'll talk a little bit about why. Why allow God to infiltrate our relationships? If you will, turn with me to Romans 12. If you're taking notes, you can title this talk, Showing Honor. for the advancement of the gospel. Showing honor for the advancement of the gospel. Romans chapter 12. I've kind of been just kind of parking it in Romans chapter 12 for about the last 6 years, I think. God just keeps bringing me back to this chapter over and over and over again. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Verse 1 is kind of a familiar verse, and you'll recognize it. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, we have many parts, and all the parts do not have the same function. In the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. Love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. You know, we have to remember in this passage, first of all, it's kind of comes out in verse 1, right at the very beginning of this section, comes out in verse 1. But verse 1 is so familiar that sometimes we miss it. And so I want to look back at verse 1 for start. The truth of the matter is, we who are many are one body together in Christ, if you're a believer. And so verse 1 says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. To present your bodies, plural, as a living sacrifice, singular. I think so many times we kind of run that over and think, present our bodies as living sacrifices, you know. And the Greek word there is thusion. It's a singular ending. It's a singular word, a living sacrifice. But the word for bodies is plural. And so we who are many, together, have to present ourselves as one living sacrifice. Paul's talking about corporate body here. He's saying all of us together. And the reason why we know this is because later in the passage, three verses later, it starts talking about we members, one body. We together, you know, Christ came and presented himself as a sacrifice. So now we together as one body need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Look in verse, let's start in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you to not think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Each one of us are members of one another, one body together. We might have different functions, okay? We're very different from each other, but still we're one body together. So think back to our opening exercise, right? It's really easy for me to think of being a member with Mandy or a member with so many of you in this room, right? So it's about how we are just members of the people that we love. But what about the person that you struggle loving? Because if that person is a believer, that person is a member of you. Do you love that person as if he or she were a part of yourself, your very being, your very soul? That person's a part of the body of Christ with you. So let's look a little bit further down and kind of camp on verses 9 and 10 tonight. Love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. First of all, it says love must be without hypocrisy. Back in the day, the Greco-Roman times, when Paul was writing this to the Romans, they were really familiar with plays where men would act, plays like Euripides and I don't know, all these Greek plays, if you remember studying them in junior high or high school. And in those plays, the actors were actually called hypocrites, basically because what they were doing was pretending to be something that they're not. Okay, and if you remember seeing some videos of this or whatever, they would use masks. They wouldn't even have their own face. They would use masks in front of themselves, pretending to be something they're not. A hypocrite was a play actor back in that time. And so that's where we got the word hypocrisy, because you pretended to be something that you weren't. Well, in this passage, it says love must be without hypocrisy, meaning that your love can't be a pretend love. You can't fake it. Matter of fact, Paul's saying love can't be that way. It must not be that way. If we're to love one another, it has to be a genuine love. So love must be without hypocrisy. It also says show family affection to one another with brotherly love. I don't know how your family is, but I was really blessed with a family. My mom and dad and two sisters, we were just close. We were just tight. Matter of fact, this summer, we're all grown up now, but this summer we all vacationed together and went to Breckenridge together. We had brother-in-laws and nieces and nephews and mom and dad. We were all crammed into one tiny little condo together. We just love being together, and that's family love, just family affection. I hope that's the way it is for you and your family. If it's not, I hope that you learn what family love is here at the BSU while you're here, here at Paradigm. Brotherly love, I think we might even have some brothers in the room tonight, some real blood brothers. I didn't grow up with brothers. I grew up with sisters. So I know it's a little bit different. I think the picture of brother, I mean, we go out and have fun together. We love each other. We call each other every other day or something like that. And we're close. But that picture of brotherly love, I recently ran into some friends of mine from college that are twins, and they're brothers, and we see them everywhere together. You'll just see these guys everywhere. And they just love each other. They're just such a beautiful picture of brotherly love. And see, we are supposed to love each other with that kind of brotherly love. It also says, and we're gonna really spend the rest of the night talking about this last part of verse 10. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. Now this word honor, this concept of showing honor, when I was a freshman, in your chairs right out here at the Baptist Student Union. I mean, I came to the BSU from the beginning. I saw a girl sidewalk talking about the pizza bash, and I said, ooh, can I come? I just jumped right in with throttle. And so I started getting involved, and, you know, I was a Baptist growing up, so I knew that this was where I wanted to be. But when I started hanging out with people at the BSU, something was a little bit strange, a little bit different to me. Matter of fact, one Sunday morning, I was sitting behind a gal that I knew. We marched in the pride together. And I was sitting behind her in church. And she was sitting next to another girl. And about halfway through the service, she just kind of reached her arm up and put her arm around this girl. And just kind of sat there with her arm around this girl next to her. I just thought, that is just the strangest thing in the world. And I wouldn't like that if that was me. I wouldn't want her arm around me. And the thing about it was that not even as you're identifying, some of you guys are like, oh yeah, I've seen that here. The thing about it was 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, I don't remember, a guy that I knew, I went to church with this guy at the BSU at Vespers, what we used to have as Vespers. A guy was sitting next to another guy, did the same exact thing. The guy, you know, and he put his arm around him and he just kind of squeezed him and sat there for a little while with his arm around this guy. I thought, this is the strangest place. This is so weird. And so, but, you know, I like these people. I mean, shoot, Jen Madden was living in the dorm. Jen Kelsey was living in the dorm with me and we had so much fun with her. So I kind of stayed around even though I thought, it's a little weird. So then what I discovered was, like, 2 or 3 weeks later, or 4 weeks or a couple months later, I started hearing girls talk about honoring the guys. And I started hearing about these times when guys that weren't even dating any girls would just rent limos and take some girls out to the city and take them out to dinner and just really honor the girls. And they weren't dating them. And they never married any of them. They didn't date. They just did these things. And I thought, what is this thing about honor? I don't understand it. The only thing that I'd ever heard about honor was honor your father and mother. So this whole idea of honor was so, and so obviously there was something different, something going on. People were really loving on each other at the BSU and at the University of Oklahoma. So maybe you're that same way. Maybe some of the chuckles I'm hearing are a little bit of identity. You know, yeah, this is kind of a weird place to hang out sometimes. So because of that, I want to take a look at some verses in Scripture that really just mention the word honor or honorable or any kind of variation that goes along with that. So I think we have them on PowerPoint. You guys can mark them down. Romans, the first one that I have already written down was outdo one another in showing honor, Romans 12:10. I didn't read through the whole passage in Romans 12, but a little bit later in Romans 12, verse 17, it says, try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. And then the one I mentioned, of course, Exodus 20:12 and Matthew 15:4, honor your father and mother. Just a few verses later in Matthew 15, verse 8 is talking to them, and he's saying, these people really honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. How about a familiar one, Philippians 4:8? Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Hebrews 13:18. Pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. Philippians 1:20. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. I hope this is kind of beginning to get you a little bit of what honor is. I also have a couple of definitions of the word honor for you. As a noun, honor can mean high regard or great respect given, received, or enjoyed. Or maybe something done or given as a token or act of respect. Kind of what we did with JT and Jamie tonight, to give them some tokens of our respect for them. As a verb, it can mean to respect greatly, regard highly, or to esteem, or to show great respect or high regard for, treat with deference and courtesy. So I'm kind of hoping that by now going through all of that, you're kind of maybe getting a little bit of this concept of showing honor. Maybe it's beginning to unfold in your minds. Maybe as you're thinking about it, you're kind of beginning to start a little bit of a paradigm shift in thinking about how to treat one another, how to behave. The next few minutes, I want to go just a little bit deeper with you and talk about some specific relationships. We can regenerate. The first one comes out of what really I think is about my, you know, the one life verse that I probably would claim. It's the one I just read a few minutes ago, Philippians 1:20. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ would be highly honored in my body. Guys, first of all, when we're talking about this thing, honor, we have to really understand that we're trying to honor Christ in everything that we do. That he would be highly honored in our body, whether by life or by death. That we wouldn't be ashamed about anything, but that in everything that we do, while we're living here on earth, that Christ would highly be honored. Every action that we have, every thought that we think. It says by death. By death was kind of interesting. How can Christ be highly honored in my death? I had a girlfriend just this past year, a gal. She was one of my students when I was in Illinois. Her name was Dawn. And Dawn was kind of a gal that was hard to love. You know, one of those that I might have thought of as that second person I had you think about. Dawn, when she was 23, was diagnosed with cancer, and by that time, she had already become into a loving relationship with Jesus through a Bible study called One-on-One with God, had really had some intimacy with the Lord, had really heard God tell her how much he loved her. So when she was 23 and told that she would have only about 2 years to live, although she'd been really angry with him for a while, that news of her life completely changed her to the extent that she really decided that for the next 2 years of my life, Christ will be highly honored in my death. And he was. Not that she didn't struggle for 2 years, but by the time that she finally got brought home on hospice, we had a hospital bed in her bedroom at her grandmother's house. People were in and out constantly. She had this family that was incredible in many different ways. And they were constantly in and out of Dawn's room, teasing her and joking with her. None of them praying with her because none of them were believers. And during this whole time while she was passing on, she constantly honored Christ through her death because she continuously shared the gospel with her family who didn't know Jesus. She continuously loved people, gave things away. I have a little Eeyore sitting on my bed that some of the girls from my team know about that's from Dawn Perkinson because she gave me this gift that I had given for her. Just giving things away, telling people about Jesus, telling her family how much she wants to see them in heaven one day. And in order for her to do that, they have to accept him as their personal Lord and Savior. Dawn really honored Christ in her death. Well, most of us are not in that situation. I hope that none of us are. Most of us are trying to figure out how to honor Christ in our life. So I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. How can we honor Christ while we're living? Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Jesus is talking. He's telling a parable. He said, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" See, as we are living our lives, taking care of one another and serving one another and honoring one another, Christ is highly honored in our life. So I want to move on to the next relationship, honoring our parents. It's the one I said that I was really familiar with by the time I was a freshman. When we think about honoring our parents, things are pretty, you know, that's kind of almost a no-brainer, almost a simple one. Yeah, we're supposed to obey our parents, and we're supposed to be grateful for what they've given to us. I had no idea until I was a freshman in college how much my mother did for me. Matter of fact, I tell people all the time that when I came to college, I really learned to appreciate my mother. And when I graduated from college, I really learned to appreciate my father. Because when I came to college, I learned how to do all my laundry and take care of everything, feed myself. When I graduated, I learned how to earn the money. So it might be a few more years before you really learn to appreciate your parents. I hope that you do, though. I hope that as you go through this time of college, that your parents will become friends of yours. You might think I'm a little strange, but rarely does a day or two go by that I don't talk to my parents on the phone. We're friends. They've become really my best friends. My parents have. What's interesting is now as I'm getting older and as my parents are getting older, this concept of honoring our father and mother is changing a little bit. Because, see, my parents are at the age where their parents are beginning to depend on them. And I have some other older women in my life who their mothers have come to live with them. It's a different stage of life. It's a total different time of life. So let's hear a little bit about what Jesus had to say. Turn with me to Matthew, just a few pages back, Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. In this passage, Jesus is teaching the Pharisees really about how to honor God by upholding his commands rather than the traditions of men. But the example he uses speaks to our point in honoring our father and mother. Verses 1 through 9. Then Pharisees and scribes came from Jerusalem to Jesus and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break God's commandment because of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and the one who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever tells his father or mother, whatever benefit you might have received from me is a gift committed to the temple.' He does not have to honor his father. In this way, you have revoked God's word because of your tradition. Hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied correctly about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commands of men.'" See, the example here that he uses is the fact that, see, the Pharisees were telling people that, you know, if your finances were committed over here to the temple, which is what we've been telling you to do, commit your finances over here to the temple. And so if you've committed them over here, but yet your father, your sickly father, needs finances to take care of himself, it's okay for you to not take care of him because they're already committed to the temple. But see, you guys, one day what's going to happen to us is we're going to get older. We're going to get in our 50s and 60s. And our parents, who once took care of us, are going to be in need of us taking care of them. I'm amazed at the men and women in my life who have moved their parents into their home. Matter of fact, I knew one lady in O'Fallon who had four generations in her house at one time. She had her mother, and then her generation, and then her daughter and her granddaughter all in the house at one time because she understood this concept of honoring father and mother. That's one way as we grow older that we can honor them. We have an opportunity in just a couple of weeks for you to honor your parents, possibly even with your finances. Right here in this very room on October 28th, noon to 3, we're going to have a parents' banquet. We can really practice this concept of honoring our parents. The tickets are like maybe $15, so maybe you can save $30 and buy your parents some tickets to come bring them to OU. Really smart, the parents' banquet coming up. You can probably think of a lot of other ways to honor your parents, so I'll let you do that. We'll move on to the next one. How about your leaders? Tonight we saw a picture of that with JT and Jamie. I hope they felt honored by the way that we've prayed for them and really diligently uplifted them, I hope. How about Hebrews 13, verses 16 through 18? Well, and you can add verse 7. Verse 7 says, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. And then jump to verse 16. Don't neglect to do good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for they would be, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a clear conscience, wanting to conduct ourselves honorably in everything. Guys, who is in leadership over your life? Your parents, we've already talked about. Maybe your teachers, your pastors, your BSU staff, maybe some mentors in your life. They love you. They would not be doing what they do if they didn't love you. And so in turning that around, verse 17 says, obey them and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. I wonder if you might be able to think of a few ways that you could really just celebrate those leaders in your life. You can really just honor them. Maybe in your classes here at OU, you know, you guys would really stand out a lot if you really honored the professors here at OU. You would shine like stars if you really treated those professors with respect and honor. Well, how about the one that probably is going to make us stand out the most to our peers is each other, honoring each other. Guys, this is really, I'm terrible at phrases. This is really where the, is it hammer hits the road? Road, what is it? Rubber meets the road. I'm terrible at phrases. Allison will swear to you that I'm terrible with phrases. This is where the rubber meets the road. Okay, and honoring each other. It's like Oneisms, Kels. So, really, in honoring others, the very first verse that I memorized as a freshman with Jen Kelsey was, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Guys, this is where you're really, among your peers, this is going to set you apart. Because here's the deal. Gals, let me talk to you first. Girls can be catty with one another, can't we? We can be catty. We can really talk badly about each other behind each other's back. Matter of fact, I remember kind of going to one of my roommates to make sure that she would agree with me about the bad qualities of my other roommate. You know, there were times when my other roommate got on my nerves, and so I'd go to one of them and say, oh, can you believe blah, 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 you know. Man, you're catty. Ladies, outdo one another in showing honor. At the time that maybe that gal gets on your nerves, pray for her. Pray that God would give you a genuine love, not a love with hypocrisy, but a genuine love for that gal. Rather than going to the one that's the third person, go to that one that you have a struggle with and say, can we go hang out? Can we pray together? Can we go get lunch? Can we go get coffee? Fight that battle of being catty. Guys, okay, it's your turn, guys. I don't know much about guys, but I know guys are competitive. So this idea of outdoing one another and showing honor, maybe already that word outdo is like, oh yeah, I'm going to outdo my friend, you know, because of the competitiveness about you, right? So here's the deal, guys. Philippians 3 and 4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But guys, in humility, consider your brothers better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. I remember in college, there was a guy named John Crawford and a guy named Glenn Tolentino. I think John spoke last year sometime. John and Glenn were just the picture of best friends. And I just remember these guys together all the time. I remember them humbly desiring the other one to succeed in all that he did, to the point where they just sacrificed for each other. They were really the picture of humility, longing for their brother to succeed in life. Those guys were also some of the guys that really honored girls. So let's talk about a little bit about girlship. Again, in our speech, gang. And I know, guys, it's not just the girls that struggle in their speech. We all have to be careful about joking. I didn't grow up in a family that really joked or teased each other, so I don't really understand that a whole lot. But I do know that when I left OU to go to this youth ministry, OU was a place of edification and encouragement. Maybe we joked a little bit and had fun. But when I went to this other place where I was serving in ministry, the sarcasm and the joking that was there just made me feel so, I don't know if oppressed is the right word or what. But guys, we need to really be careful about the sarcasm that we use with each other and the joking and teasing that we use. Figure out where that line is and draw it and don't go past it. And if you do, apologize immediately. Okay, so we can show each other honor in our speech. I was mentioning John and Glenn a few minutes ago. Let me start with you guys this time. Guys, it's okay for you. If you're not dating girls, it's okay for you to maybe be a little bit creative with your friends that are girls and figure out ways to really hang out with them in creative ways and really bless them. Girls like that. And the thing about it is that these girls in our ministry, in case you haven't noticed, are precious. They're lovely. Don't you just want to let them know that? Even if you're not dating them, figure out ways to really honor them. I don't know if it was John and Glenn or some other guys, but I'm serious. These guys rented a limo. There were three of them, rented a limo and took three other girls out on the town one night. And they never dated these three girls. They're all six of them. Well, five of them are married now to completely different people. But those girls were so blessed because they hadn't had a date that whole year or whatever. And these guys just took them out and shared a great time with them. Okay, so girls, the thing about it is I want you girls to figure out a way to really see how the guys in this room can fulfill their potential in life. Because these guys are growing to be godly men who are going to lead this world with wisdom and strength and power from the Holy Spirit. Girls, figure out ways to really encourage them in that. You can tell them things every once in a while that really bless you about them. Figure out ways that really can help them fulfill that potential of a godly leader. Okay, the part that I really struggled with over this last few weeks was to talk to you a little bit about honoring each other in dating relationships. Is because there's so much to be said and I have so little time. So the thing about it that I want to just touch on very briefly tonight is across the board in our ministry, across the board in life, guys like to talk about girls and girls like to talk about guys. And so in our ministry, I want to see something being set apart in our lives. I want to get this right, gals. Listen to me, girls. If you know a guy who likes one of your girlfriends, let that guy be the one to tell her. Don't go squealing to her. That guy's probably put in weeks and maybe even months praying about asking her out. And you just spoiled the surprise when you go and tell her that he likes her. Let's let the guys really take the initiative in that and do that. It could be really honoring to them. Guys, the same thing. If you like a girl, figure out some way to bridle your tongue. You can pray about it with your prayer partner or maybe some people that you trust. But I want to challenge you to really keep it to a minimum how much you talk about that gal on that floor that you live or wherever, whatever class you're in. So that this girl won't think that her life is exposed to the entire floor. If you have to talk about her, talk about the godly character in her life. But try to keep that talking to a minimum so that she's really not exposed and laid out for the entire floor to know who she is. Honor each other with purity. I've just recently been reading a book called A Return to Modesty. It's not written by a Christian. It's written by a Jewish woman, actually. And Wendy Shalit is her name. She says some really good things. And one of the things she said is the reason why so many of us are swooning over Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility, all these 19th century films, is because, she says, we want our dignity back, our feminine mystique back. And along with it, the notion of male honor. See, the thing is, gals and guys, female modesty goes hand in hand with male honor. Ladies, Wendy Shalit says, how can we expect men to be honorable when a large number of women consistently send the message that they don't have to be? Let me read that again. How can we expect men to be honorable when a large number of women consistently send them the message that they don't have to be? Let's expect these men to be honorable because they want to be. And guys, I can't talk to you a whole lot about being honorable. But I know that if you stick around here at the BSU long enough and you hang out with a John Kelsey and a Alex Miller, Chris Gorey, JT Cleaver, Dave Tim, Dick Jaques, you're going to learn about how to be honorable. Because these men are honorable. Let them be examples in your lives. Okay, I want to wrap up with this. Turn with me to Romans 10:14. Kels mentioned it already. The final group that we really need to honor is Christians. The final group that we need to honor are non-Christians, non-believers. The best way to honor them, yes, show them respect. Ask them about their beliefs. Talk to them about who they are and love on them and be friends with them. But more than that, guys, verse 14, but how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? Guys, the best way that we can honor our non-Christian friends is telling them the good news about Jesus Christ and what he did for them. Gosh, my life verse, Philippians 1:20, says, my eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ would be highly honored in my body, whether by death or by life. Can we really honor Christ by honoring others, by honoring each other? Remember, Romans was talking about presenting ourselves as one living sacrifice, one body. If we're honoring each other, it's going to stand out. You know that verse where Jesus says, they will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. In our MT on Wednesday nights, we're studying Philippians. In the book of Philippians, the whole first chapter talks about partnering together. Talks about partnering together for the advancement of the gospel. And in verses 9 through 11, Paul prays for the Philippians that their love would abound and that their knowledge would grow so that they would determine what really matters. Guys, what really matters is Christ being highly honored in our bodies, whether by life or by death. What really matters is the gospel advancing to the kingdom, to the nations, for God's kingdom and glory. Guys, let our love and our honor for one another grow and abound so that this world can see what really matters. This world can see and hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ through our lives, through us honoring one another and loving one another. Let me pray for you. Father, I just really ask, God, that you would be forming in our hearts and in our lives a love without hypocrisy, a family affection for one another with brotherly love, sisterly love. God, that we would really be outdoing one another and showing honor. God, not for our sake alone, although it is nice for us to have honor with one another, but God, for your sake, for the advancement of your kingdom, so that your gospel might go out because of our love for one another and our love for others. Oh God, I pray that you would so move in our lives to make us respectable, honorable men and women for your glory and for your renown. In Christ's name I pray.